pay just for $3, though.
And then might introduce Jessica.
And welcome to episode 28 of Geeks of the Square Table, coming at you live from Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
I'm Son of Maddie.
Of America, and with me today is...
Jack Burton, Pork Chop Express.
What the
fuck? What?
Where did that come from?
Oh, you don't know, he can't explain.
Popped in there.
Yeah,
popped
in there. It came in there from Big Trouble Little China getting a comic book.
Big Trouble Little China is getting a comic
book? Yes,
awesome.
It is. Written by Eric Powell and John Carpenter.
It's going to be great. John Carpenter.
I love Eric Powell.
Introductions.
David.
Oh, hey, it's Gomer.
Well, I just don't know who I am and where I am anymore.
All right.
Jesse, I guess.
Still Jules.
We're having an identity crisis.
I mean, what episode are we at? So we're having
if Gomer's not Gomer,
equals identity crisis. All right.
Guys, let me remember that event, Identity Crisis, where the big three were trying different personas.
Pretty grimdark by mainstream.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, where Superman killed. He was
killed him.
Scottish Superman actually is something I would read.
What was his name?
Where Superman
Gangbuster.
Krypton Laddie.
He was Gangbuster.
Kryptonite
DC.
My only weakness.
In the
80s, the Kryptonite Barbie.
He had the identity crisis.
That's Irish.
And he became Gangbuster, and he killed villains. Metropolis became like a withering city, and he started going around killing villains.
Who? Soups.
Soups. Uh-huh. And he was called Gangbuster, and he wore, like, riot gear.
Wait, hold on. That was some different guy. That was
that was Kal-El. He went crazy and dressed up as Gangbuster.
Maybe that's alternate universe, because there's a regular Gangbuster who was there, I remember, during the Death of Superman stuff, who was, like, his, like... He was dating, but it's complicated. But anyway.
No, Superman gave
comic
him...
books, of course, is complicated.
Superman gave him the Gangbuster persona when he was done with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Every now and then there's continuity that I choose to ignore because that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Remember, Spider-Man had like four different personas that he gave to other people.
That was fucking stupid.
What? Dust was cool. Ricochet and what was the other one? The Hornet?
It was like Hyperion.
You're thinking of Velocity?
I know,
he had the weird... like Thor helmet too.
Sentinel, I don't know.
Yeah, you got
some like noble sounding. Whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Whatever.
He was cool.
All right. Anyway.
Whatever. Anyways. Crisis.
Different things.
If we want to talk about DC events, we can talk about their upcoming Future's End.
Which we talk about how Forever Evil is
going to come out before Forever Evil.
Yeah, there's an event out right now by DC Forever Evil. It seems like it's been going on for years. It's only on issue 6 and issue 7, which is supposed to be out next month or this month. Let me take that back. It was first supposed to come out last month.
Yeah.
Then it got pushed back to this month.
Yep.
Now it's been pushed back all the way to April.
The end of April.
Which not only pushes back that book, but pushes back four tie-ins to that book that
Nightwing,
are also going to come back.
The last issue, Nightwing.
Last issue, Nightwing.
Justice League of America. The last issue, Justice League of America.
Yes. And this is also weird because their follow-up to this event, which is
Futures,
which is Futures, the new 52 Futures End, which is going to be a weekly comic, will be out before Forever Evil ends, which is a total cluster.
So
mess,
no one's going to want to read that. I mean, or people are going to pick it up, I'm sure,
but it's like
I don't want to read it.
It's got a lot of good appeal. You got Terry McGinnis, Batman Beyond coming into the new 52,
and
that's going to be really good.
How's that going to work?
What do you mean?
Traveling from the future
yes.
to the past?
Yeah. Okay. He's traveling from his future to the future 5 years of the present. Yes.
But
it's complicated before it even drops.
Cable. He's Cable of the DC Universe.
No, he's not Cable of the DC Universe. Stop.
He's an alternate.
Well, we're off to a bad start.
Yeah, that's a terrible start.
He's from an alternate future of the DC Universe, which never happened.
I'm not sure if
everyone except Terry McGinnis is the new
Cable. Fanboy Rage, go.
This is probably the main reason why I read more Marvel than DC.
I
pick up a handful of DC books, but I stay away from their big events.
Yeah.
Specifically,
because they have no new ideas. They're like, you know what we could do? Whatever Marvel was already doing.
No,
Trinity War was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's like, Trinity War was, let's do the Civil War with Justice League. Let's not, and let's say we did.
Yeah. I
that's exactly.
No, it was solicited like that, but it was in no way.
Exactly.
That
that's
book.
The, they
but yes,
solicited
you're right, it.
It
was solicited
like
a that.
Civil War
yes.
between the three leagues.
But that's in
and
no way what it was.
It did not go that way.
No.
And instead they did their own version of Dark Reign.
But I don't think Batman Beyond...
Forever Evil is Dark Reign,
but they're not making it an alternate universe. Batman Beyond is going to be set in New 52 proper. Because of this event. It's not an alternate universe anymore. Yeah. The future is the future.
I was just going to say my biggest complaint, though, it's just like how they...
He's still okay.
They're kind of constantly relying on nostalgia factor to pull through. Okay, like, take that first story arc they did of the new Justice League they relaunched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big reveal, oh, it's Darkseid. All he did in the comic itself was like, I am Darkseid.
Yes.
And if you didn't already know who Darkseid was, you're like, what the fuck? What's the big
deal?
Yeah.
Same could be said for Thanos in Infinity, though.
Yeah, but Thanos actually, like, had character and personality. He actually had banter. Darkseid literally said, like, five words.
You're right.
Yeah.
And not only that, Thanos actually had a reason different from anything he's ever done before, is that he's trying to kill his kid.
Yeah,
he's been trying to kill all of his children.
Other than like the whole Trinity War thing, the big payoff at the end of that is like it's the crime syndicate. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool, but it's not so cool that it justifies all this straight up lying about this being some big brouhaha fight.
Yeah.
Well, there was a big brouhaha.
There were skirmishes. And it was hardly a war.
Dude, no, it was not a war.
Literally, it occurred to me the other night as I was like, I'm gonna catch up on Forever Evil because I haven't given it a chance.
Yeah.
It's a lame version of Dark Reign. It's a harsher version of the villains being on top and the heroes being gone.
It is a harsher version of that, but it does have its differences.
Yeah, of course, but it's essentially like, you know what Marvel did? Villains on top, heroes on the bottom. We could do that too.
I feel like we're being such Marvel fanboys right now.
I'm not trying to be, but that's just...
Jules, he has
always been a Marvel fan. I'm literally in a Marvel shirt right now.
I try to be neutral.
I've given up. I'm not neutral.
I don't have to try to be neutral. I'm just legitimately neutral.
No, no, Gomer is. I will say
I'm neutral.
I'm legitimately neutral. If I think a book is shit... It's like New Avengers. I'm loving it. Last issue was shit.
Last issue was pretty bad.
It was terrible.
It had a lot of cool stuff. I agree that it was
terrible.
I'm glad
in all fairness, and probably Hickman knew it when it came out. That's why the new issue comes out the very next week.
Yes.
With a great plot.
It's new artist, too.
Yeah.
And a new Rex artist. Because Simone Bianchi is...
It's pretty much Avengers versus Justice.
This was not his book. He does not need to do talking head books.
No.
Agreed. He did a Wolverine book that was awesome. No, it was great.
I didn't like
the
his
Wolverine
horns.
Where he, with the sword. The
the Mirasama book. Where he kills Sabretooth for the last time.
No one's ever going to kill anyone.
No, of course not. But it was a great
arc.
That was up his alley.
But it was a good arc. He did great work on it. This book, no, not good work.
And the best thing ever, too.
In one page, there's literally a panel where Beast is wearing some like binoculars or whatever the hell on his head. The next panel, the binoculars aren't on his freaking head, or
which
the
is
viewfinders
like,
or whatever the hell you have.
The way you're talking about it, it almost bordered on like Liefeld screw ups from the way you're making it sound. Like
it's
just
better
like,
art.
Liefeld, but it's better art. But that's
Liefeld
some...
was at least consistent with his shit.
Yeah,
no,
Simone Bianchi is not consistent.
But
with
he
his
did
shit.
Have. Have a lot of those things where the panels didn't match up.
Agreed.
It'd be in one panel, someone has a big gun strapped to their back. Next one, what happened to the gun? It's not in their hands. It's nowhere. What'd they do? Drop it? Like,
it's
weird.
But it's like he smokes a bong.
In all fairness,
he's taking bong hits between
there's
panels.
Less, yeah, I mean, there's less screw-ups than you could find in a Liefeld book in this last issue.
Oh, yes,
of
course.
Yeah,
of course.
I mean, I'm
that's
not saying...
the bar pretty low.
Dude, yeah, exactly.
Last time I saw something about Liefeld, he was in his car. Tweeting something that he had written in his car while he was driving.
Yeah.
And my reply to that was like, oh, I guess that's why your art sucks, because you're doing it at 85 miles per hour. What the hell?
Actually, okay, if he was like, yeah, doing
that'd
all this art.
That'd be kind of badass. I'd be all right with it.
Like,
the last thing I heard about Liefeld, he was
doing it all on the expressway. Okay, that's
pretty good. That's actually pretty talented.
Yeah. All things considered.
And you know somebody, the issue where he... rear-ended somebody, you know.
There's a
big mark. It's like Superman's like,
and Spike Lee's there. Yeah.
Wait! I was like, maybe that's what happened why Darkseid's beams like
as much
as
I wrote on Colin
Bunn,
he does not cancel more books than Rob Liefeld does.
It's kind of funny about Darkseid with his beams, like, for no reason.
Just going these weird, angular...
You're standing right in front of me, but he's like...
He goes around the entire city to get behind you somehow.
I have to give it up to Kirby for that. That's,
that's
an original Kirby
also,
thing.
Yeah, I'll give it to Justice League War. It's a terrible movie, but they make a joke about it in the movie, and it was hilarious. Where the Flash's like, how do they do that?
And then
that's
also
stupid for no reason.
I'm sure it's like been up on various pages. I've seen that one image of Batman standing in front of Darkseid, and the beam just goes up and over him and misses him.
Yeah.
That's a great...
We brought up the New 52 Futures End. It's a weekly book. DC is also going to be doing Batman Eternal, which is a weekly
book.
Well.
It's going to start well.
Don't jam it before it starts.
And, yeah, exactly. And a book in October that will be a follow-up.
It sounds convoluted, but it's benefit of the doubt.
If it goes anything like the countdown, it's like it's going to be really cool at first. Then there'll be so many lull weeks.
The thing
you're like,
about
you know
the Futures End is it's an all-encompassing book, which means every aspect of the New 52, the whole DCU, is going to have to be addressed at some point. In the solicits, they're already talking about whatever happened to Stormwatch.
Yeah.
So they're going to be getting into a lot of stuff.
Stormwatch is still going.
Well, 5 years later, though, maybe it's not. In the future,
I don't know what happened to Grifter.
So, well, Grifter is in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's going to be so they have a lot of stuff to choose from. There's a lot
of
ammo.
Like, it's just like Countdown. Let's talk about all the characters who had their books canceled.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
A lot of Legion's characters.
Legion.
The only thing, the only problem I have with these 52 or these weekly releases is the sheer number of creators that they need to get that sort of pace
and
out.
That's the problem. It's going to be lost.
And
go through
the
too
other
many
titles
hands.
Suffer.
It can get lost.
And that's what happened with Countdown. It went
it had
too many 52 hands.
As well.
Didn't
it happened to 52.
Spoil the soup and all that.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I just want to get your guys' opinion. Well, also, in September, remember Villains Month? Every book was taken over by the villains. They're doing that again in September. But this is going to be every...
Super Villains Month?
No, this is going to be DC characters 5 years in the future and what quote-unquote might happen.
Oh, so what if book? Okay.
Now, for one thing, anytime you said something that's like in the possible future, it never pans out.
Never pans out. Half of the villains, though, they had out in Villains Month still have yet to appear in the New 52 properly.
One
so.
Thing... I'll say with those future books and what if books in general, they're sometimes more interesting than what the actual titles are. So I mean, like, I like what if things because
the entire Age
that's
of Ultron
what fanboys
was a big
do
what
have
if.
The time. Yeah. I mean, we talk about like
for the most part
that could never happen. That would be cool.
I wasn't too big on Age of Ultron in the first one.
You know, they're doing a what if Age of Ultron went the other way.
Weird. Run the risk of oversaturating it.
But
like,
isn't Age of Ultron canon?
Yeah.
It Age is. Of Ultron is it was 616 canon.
So what do we
it's
think
not
about
the
weekly?
Important kind of canon where it actually affected?
Well, it
might, broke
though.
Time, which was like something a few stories picked
it's,
up on.
It's canon
but,
the
although,
same way Flashpoint is canon.
But
the
although
50s.
Age
yes,
of Ultron, well, no,
it isn't.
No.
Yeah, because Flashpoint, the 252 doesn't exist without it.
Well, Age of Ultron though.
It's broke time,
and they've been addressing that in
a lot of
books.
They've been addressing Indestructible Hulk. They
all new
and all new X-Men.
But
they
like,
addressed it in Guardians.
Yeah, a lot of books.
As far
they
as
talk
like
about it.
Ultron killing half the Marvel universe,
oh, that, didn't,
that
happen.
Didn't matter. No,
I mean, but it's still an important point.
But no,
like
it's not even.
Point.
It's not even Ultron. It's Wolverine. That everything that.
Yeah.
Catalyst from him killing Hank Pym and then him killing himself.
He destroyed time.
So what do we think about weekly books? So what do we think about
time.
Weekly books? The idea.
I liked 52.
Okay.
52 was a good book. Countdown
was
not. So
not.
Much.
It I kind of
I didn't care for
killed my will to live.
Oh, you know,
World
cool.
War III, the tie into it was good.
Yeah.
World War III was awesome, which got me stoked for
Countdown
and then it didn't matter.
What was the other one? Year One was cool.
Yeah.
That weekly book?
Yeah.
Where you got to see a different Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman every week.
So it
I
can
thought that
be
was
done.
Cool.
Yeah, it's just, it's really hard because part of the weekly
until Grant
book.
Until Grant Morrison touched it.
The weekly book is less of a thing like we want to get all this story out at once. It's more of a can we capitalize on people buying a book every week?
I think it's seriously.
You think it's more of a money grab than
yeah,
a way
it
to
is.
Tell a story?
As far as storytelling goes, it's pretty hard to make a compelling story last 52
exactly.
Years.
So that's I don't think that's ever what it's been. I think it's more
unless
of a,
it's like
what's
over
the number one
years.
Complaint about all these events that come out is that they try to make them 12 issues when they should have been six.
Yes.
So you get a bunch of issues of nothing but filler.
Yes.
But then there's
but
also
multiply that by at least four.
But yeah,
I mean, then part of I mean, the opposite is part of Jules's reason he doesn't like Flashpoint is because it was too short and wasn't fleshed out enough. And
it didn't have to be fleshed out; it was a means to an end.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, that, I remember when we first talked about it, that was one of his reasons he didn't like it. And I get that because there's sometimes people can't do it's either too short or too long.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's hard
like,
to find the
fear
the
itself, though. They like do all like it's terrible, it's awful. We can't beat the God of Fear, and then like hold on, I just got some kick-ass weapons. Oh, okay, let's go kick his ass.
Yeah,
and that's the big.
You know, it was funny because in the AVX, because Iron Man had his anti-Phoenix gun, I was like, this is going to end the same way that did. But they ended up fixing that.
AVX was solid enough.
AVX was a solid way to start Marvel now. It still affects everything.
They at least had the good sense to make that into distinct acts.
Yeah. Agreed. And it's still going. They
and
still
you know
have the AVX
that was,
single book that's out up to like number 18. It's been going on for like a year and a half.
I will say that's probably my favorite event in recent memory, though, was actually Siege. Yeah, only four Siege. Issues.
It was good.
Good tie-ins.
Good action.
Good tie-ins. Good
great tie-ins.
Good tie-ins.
The Heroic Age was awesome, too, after that.
I agree.
The follow-up to Siege was good.
It didn't last as long as it should have, and it didn't feel like it was as focused as it should have been, but yeah, it was fun.
It was fun.
A lot of good books.
Steve Rogers just being Agent Rogers
yeah.
and Bucky being Cap was awesome.
Lots of good books.
That was a lot of good books.
Now, there's one thing we were talking about events. They did a six-issue event. Trial of Jean Grey.
Yes, that's crossing over between Guardians of the Galaxy and All New X-Men.
I haven't been following either of those.
It's
what did she do this time?
They're holding her accountable for crimes of the original Jean Grey.
Wait, so we're going back to her and the Dark Phoenix saga blowing up that planet?
Kind of.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay,
and she's being held accountable.
She's holding all.
No, it's
kind of
good
like
because the Shi'ar.
No, I mean, from her perspective, it's bullshit.
Oh, yeah. The Shi'ar are putting so much pressure on her when they capture her that they're actually bringing the Phoenix out of her by doing this. So it's really a fun story.
Well, and not only that,
and Jean has actually said at this point, "No, you're right."
I didn't
take
think
me
the
in.
Phoenix was something that was like innately inside of her.
Well, I'm not
just,
sure. Yeah,
I thought it was a like
cosmic force.
Yeah, it like went into her. I didn't think that she was born with it.
I'm not sure if they're retconning that or if they're trying to establish that at some point Jean Grey had to grow up and become the vessel. And then once she becomes the vessel, the Phoenix is like, "All right, I'm in it." Well, I think that's what they're getting. And they're like pushing her towards being that vessel.
What they might hint at in this, I guess, particular young Jean Grey, the Phoenix is already in her, and no one has caught on to it.
That's what I think they're gonna like. Rachel had the Phoenix in her, and knew it because the Phoenix came into her and wasn't. I don't think. I think they're trying to establish that
Jean has no idea that she already has it.
Boom.
That this Jean already has it.
But this is throwing in that idea where it's like. Just, I know. You can't kill anything ever because we thought Phoenix Force was gone.
That was the whole resolution.
But Jean's also already
gone. But of course, it's coming back.
But this Jean is already
gone.
Waited
a year, goddammit.
But the other thing is that they're doing it. It's cool. It's a post Infinity.
Well,
the Shi'ar lost a lot. Yeah.
All right. Now, okay. And issue number two of this crossover was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The first print. Was that labeled number two?
Of the chapter, yes.
Yeah.
All right. The second print is labeled number one.
It's technically, it is half of chapter one, really.
Okay. So, okay.
Let me stop you there, because the first...
The second print...
Guardians of the Galaxy.
There's two part one to that event.
Yes, because they both end at the same
all
place.
All new X-Men and the Guardians of the Galaxy, that the issues that started this event
and
could
exact...
have easily been a flip book, where you read the Uncanny,
the last page,
all new, and then you read the last page.
Yeah, the last page of both books is the exact same thing.
That would have been pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Oh, having a flip book? Definitely would have been cool.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the question I'm going to propose.
Tonight at 11?
Oh, hey, quick, so many people are here. No one's free tomorrow afternoon, right, for Pathfinder?
No.
Right, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway.
Okay.
Now, or,
I got a test to take anyway.
Okay.
Would you rather do
next
a yearly
week,
event
we're gonna aim for next
or a
Thursday.
Weekly event that lasts a whole year or however long?
Okay.
Or one of these events that crosses like four or five books, you know?
Would you rather it be something
where you have to pick up,
I think
get it all over a month or two, but you have to pick up two,
it's
three
kind
books
of dangerous
a week.
Where you have to pick up multiple books.
A week.
A week.
Well, like, yes, but like, even if it were over a broader time period, it runs the risk of, I don't give a crap about these characters that are tying in. I give a crap. Let's say, like, it's five books, two of them are books I read regularly.
And three of them aren't.
It kind of sucks for me because I have to go read like these three books that I normally wouldn't care about in order to get this story from the two books
Do you understand why Marvel's doing it?
I would rather see it.
It makes sense from their perspective.
Yes.
You need to buy more books.
Classic
and they want you to try another book. It's a good way to get you to try.
Here's what I'm going to say. I want something that's just good.
I don't care how their method is. If it's good, it's good.
If it's good, it's good.
Totally
Infinity,
agree.
Infinity was, in hindsight, three books for the next 3 months. I don't know if I'm going to do it. I was already collecting, and it turned out to be awesome.
Which is the problem I have with
but that wasn't the same
DC's
thing
for entire weekly strategy.
Yes. The rest
if
of
their shit was good now, it'd be getting red now. You wouldn't need a gimmick.
Right.
The same problem I have with Marvel's renumber relaunch strategy that's a bait and switch.
Yeah.
If the books were good to begin with, people would buy them.
Yes.
I don't think you need a bait and switch to show me a Captain Marvel that has a number one on it when it's nowhere near
number
one. When
it's a 16 point now.
Yeah, or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
But
not to mention that just confuses people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not really confused by it. I understand
what
they're doing.
But now, okay,
Me, yes.
You, they're not trying to get you. They've got me.
Yeah, they've already got you.
The hooks are in.
The hooks are into us.
Yeah. That's where they're going with these ones. And you see the point now and this, and you know, that just confuses the new readers, you know?
Right. Yeah, because they go in thinking it's a jumping on point, and it's actually not.
Well, they're soliciting it as a jumping on point.
If that point one is a true jumping on point, then that's another story.
And that's to be debated in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
A lot of people said you could read Captain Marvel number one, the one that dropped just the other day, and it did feel like a number one to them. I had no idea what was going on.
I picked it up and was fair. I haven't been reading the last one, even though I want to probably go get back and trade. But for now, I haven't read those stories that led up to this. I was fine.
Yeah, I was fine. I'm not saying it was the Statue of Liberty.
She's going into space. Good. Let's go. Yeah.
That's exactly a sedated Rhodey. Cool.
But that's the
when did that happen?
I had no idea.
Good for Rhodey. He needs to do
it
more.
It didn't feel like a number one to me.
Well, that is a good valid complaint.
Yeah, and I didn't drop the book because Kelly Sue DeConnick or the artist sucked. Lopez sucked. I didn't drop it because of them. I dropped it because editorial tried to get over on me. And the only way I had to pay them back is to say, no, I'm not going to buy your book.
Well, this is a rare thing, but I'll say a minorly bad thing about Thor, God of Thunder.
Yes.
They put a big honking number one on issue number 19. It was a sort of a new story arc.
Right.
But it was not the start.
No, it's not a jumping on.
Yeah.
Not at all.
If anything, I think the jumping on point was...
Was the issue before.
Yeah, a couple weeks, or even the single one from a month ago.
Well, also...
When I jumped on, I felt great.
If you haven't been reading Thor, God of Thunder, you should have anyway.
Yes, you should.
Great book.
I feel terrible
if you like
not
Thor,
it.
If you, any of you like
God
Thor,
God
that's
Butcher
the...
and God Bomb
oh,
are
trades
some of the best
yeah,
stuff
you,
yes.
in a really long time.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Oh, so, awkward segue into Marvel Movieverse.
Oh, yes, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, I can't believe it's taking so long to get to it, but...
Comic Talk.
They've dropped... What Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver actually look like.
Yes,
not just art images.
Set photos. Awesome.
And way better than whatever the heck Fox is doing
it's
with
what
the two
we
characters.
Said last week when we were talking costumes. Simple.
Less is more.
Simple is better.
It's kind of
man.
Not even per se lightning bolts, but just the zigzags on Quicksilver's costume looks awesome.
Quicksilver looks cool. I'm still a little worried about speed effects just because those tend to look a little hokey in movies. But
yeah, it's kind of hard.
Technology is getting pretty good nowadays.
Yeah. I'm anxious regarding the speed effects to see how each brand handles that. Because
in the
Days of Future Past, they made a huge deal about a high-speed camera they were using. But I haven't heard anything about the Marvel version making a big deal out of the special effects. But I'm anxious to see how they do it. It's a hard effect to pull off going real quick.
You know...
There's one scene where Quicksilver's standing in front of somebody else, and if you look behind him, there's somebody duct taped to the wall.
Yeah.
And that's going to be duct taping the hell. That's going to be awesome.
What I hope they do, and they did this in the Ultimate Universe, and it's one giant joke, is you actually can't see him do anything.
Yeah.
You just see what was left over. Maybe if you take the camera and you slow it down, you find out I was there the whole time helping you guys out.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, go use the toilet.
Very cool.
And so, if you know,
does he use the toilet in super speed too?
Man,
I would assume so. That's awesome. And they always take the constant joke. You know, for you guys, it's 10 minutes. To me, it feels like 3 hours.
Yeah,
I hope everyone knows
that. Talk about that in Young Avengers.
Yes.
Yeah,
speed.
He's been like Prodigy watched him work for like 50 seconds on building microchips. And like, that was a week.
Yeah.
I love
that. He's a much better speed character that's come along in the last, you know, few years than any of the changes they've done to Flash or Quicksilver.
Yeah. Well,
he's a very cool character.
I'm a big fan.
Don't make
of Speed.
Me bitch again about them dropping Wally West. But,
he's supposed to be coming back.
Yeah, but probably it's like some kid.
Because
New 52. gotta
they painted themselves into a corner.
That's why I like Speed. Speed felt like Wally West back in the day.
All right, we'll get back on the movies.
Yeah, movies. Chris Evans is done, apparently.
Yeah, retiring after his
Marvel contract.
Marvel contract. He says, I'm done.
Well, that's still like 40 movies.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but
Evans for like seven.
Keeping in mind, this is probably going to be like 5 years in the future where this actually means anything. But
it's still a surprising movie.
Yeah,
surprising.
He's a young guy.
He's a young
guy.
He's
having a lot of success doing these
stepping
movies.
Away from
Evans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like a quit while you're ahead or...
Not a quit while you're ahead. Quit while you have the money and then do what
top.
You want to do.
Exactly.
I'm going to go ahead and call Brett Favre on this.
Boom.
Somebody's going to offer him bunches of money and he's going to be like, Well, okay.
I mean, Robert Downey Jr. was going to retire, and then it's like, you'll give me all this money.
So we have to take it with a pinch of salt.
Of course.
Because it'd be at least 5 years down the line.
I'm retiring, but I'm not retired.
So it's like final tour.
He might turn out to be a phenomenal director.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He may end up directing Captain America 4 as part of the deal.
Well, he's retiring as an actor. Who knows? He might go into directing.
Also, his directing might be the Jon Favreau flavor of directing, where he's actually in the movie that he's directing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Right. That's what I was saying. He might direct all the Captain Americas after 5. Yeah.
That'd be a good
performance out of it. Just like a little review of the movie Brick. Awesome.
Yes.
His movie. Go ahead, Jules.
I was gonna say, but saying all that with him announcing
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Don John was a phenomenal.
Don Johnson wrote,
directed, and starred in Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
He wisely wrote a part where he was the love interest of Scarlett Johansson.
That's my dream, right there, direct and star.
Larry, I'm gonna put that on the list of things I someday need to try and help you out on. Because I want that.
I hate Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I want that.
Top two most attractive actresses are Julianne Moore and Scarlett Johansson.
And he gets to be in the same
unbelievable
movie.
Genius.
You're going to write a movie.
Yeah, you might as well. But that's awesome. Coming off the heels of Chris Evans saying he was retiring, Scarlett Johansson has pretty much hinted that she's going to get her own Black Widow movie.
Hint. I think it's pretty much a go.
Well, it's not official, but it's pretty much likely. Well, apparently you're going to tear into her being a double agent with Hydra at one point.
Which is a cool time.
Yeah, I think that's going to work. I think they're going to go back to Budapest. It's supposed to be a movie.
That'd be interesting, but that's also one of those things where it's like the noodle incident from Calvin and Hobbes. Sometimes it's better just to leave it to the imagination.
Yeah.
No explanation.
And Jeremy Renner, I recently saw American Hustle. He's brilliant in it.
He's one of the best parts of the movie.
Jeremy Renner's a great actor.
He's amazing. So, yeah, he should definitely
And that's one reason it's a little bit of a shame that he got, like, you know, 5 minutes of non-brainwashed screen time.
And he was terrible in Avengers recently, and bummed again.
He was good in it, but it was a
bad
movie.
That guy is a brainwashed nothing for a
Well, next time, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. But the thing is, with the Black Widow movie, they want to do her and Hawkeye meeting each other.
In Budapest, back in the day.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
And why he doesn't remember it.
If it's handled well, that could be a great movie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And also, yeah, hey, good for them. They're they're actually willing to do a female lead movie.
Yes.
And that's not Elektra.
Yeah. Yes. I like the idea that she's going to be the main.
It doesn't have to be Elektra. It just has to be someone in leather pants.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, fair enough.
Red leather, black leather, it doesn't matter.
At least Black Widow's outfit's a little more modest.
Red leather, black leather.
A little more modest. Easy now.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, Zipper's still got to go down to her navel, pretty much.
Has there been a comic book movie with a female lead that didn't have a leather outfit, leather spandex female outfit? Lead?
I'm having a hard time just thinking of one that wasn't just absolute shit.
Yeah.
We had, like, Catwoman and Elektra come to mind.
The Wonder Woman series was awesome.
They were in leather, but
Mystique's not wearing clothes, so, I mean...
No, and those are Wolverine Gray. Movies. Those aren't X-Men movies.
Those are Wolverine those and Jean Grey movies.
Everything but First Class is nothing but a Wolverine movie. I'm sick of it.
They didn't wear leather in First Class.
Speaking of X-Men.
Days of Future Past actually looks better than the last trailer.
It looks so good.
It looks so much better than I thought it was going to be.
It looks
Quicksilver still looks awful.
Yeah, that's
just
really
awful.
I'm over
Marvel
it.
Won the Quicksilver fight.
Yeah.
Appearance
yeah, they won that real fast.
And they took two characters. From Kick-Ass.
That's not the fight I want to see.
The guy who's playing Quicksilver in Fox was his friend in the first movie.
Yeah.
And then
the one that became Ass Kicker? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then in Marvel, they took the guy who played Kick-Ass. They said, we're not going to take the second-rate Kick-Ass. We're going to take actual Kick-Ass.
And that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. Ass Kicker.
Really we never did mention Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet Witch. I thought she looked pretty good.
She looks cool. Yeah, that's it's simple.
Also, played down, not too flashy. Just, you know.
It still looks like what Scarlet Witch would look like.
Marvel's been doing a good... played down kind
and
of thing.
And actually,
I mean,
agreed. If you ever watched X-Men Evolution, that was what Scarlet Witch's costume was.
Yeah, the cartoon.
Just that jacket and that dress.
Yeah.
Except for she had shorter hair.
She had shorter hair. That's the only difference. But I thought that was kind of cool they pulled in.
I'm cool with that. They never get hair right.
No, they never get hair.
Yeah, I mean, do we need to talk about your
hair? Sometimes hair in like a comic page or on a cartoon would look ridiculous on
it. Yeah, well, the reason hair looks the way it does in comics is because that's really the only way they had to identify a lot of people.
So Mary Jane was a redhead, and Stacey Gwynn was a blonde. Could you imagine somebody with that in real life?
I said Stacey Gwynn.
Yeah.
That's what I call her.
No, I just read.
So you have like
Spider-Man Blue. Comma, if you've never read Spider-Man Blue, that's an awesome story.
That's one of those things I've always regretted not having read yet.
Really, it's awesome. It's about his relationship with Gwen and Mary Jane at the beginning.
Okay. It's Tim Sale.
Tim Sale and Jeff Loeb at the height of their success.
That's a good shirt.
That is cool.
Yeah, that's a good shirt.
But yeah, Days of Future Past looks
awesome.
Yeah.
That's dropping in May, right?
I think so.
Like the 23rd?
Yeah.
And
more or less kicking off the summer movie season.
A what?
A Giver
The Giver?
The book The Giver?
Jeff Bridges. Like
Jeff Bridges. Meryl Streep.
Oh, okay.
Did I say Glenn Close? Yeah, Meryl Streep.
Yeah, Meryl Streep and Taylor Swift.
Man. What?
Who's the...
And Katie Holmes.
Ah,
who's the kid
who will be replaced by Megan Gyllenhaal?
Oh, some guy. I don't know.
The receiver.
Yeah. Jeff Bridges is actually playing the Giver.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep is playing the Chief.
So,
and
Taylor
Swift is playing the Giver's daughter.
That'll be interesting.
Katie Holmes is playing the girl's mother.
Katie Holmes, and I'm just curious to get everybody's opinion. Do you think her career has been helped or hurt by her leaving Scientology?
Helped.
I think her life has been helped.
Yeah, her personal life can't be worse.
Whatever, if it damages her career, it's totally worth it.
Yeah, agreed. I think she pretty much was.
Guys, we got to watch on our Scientology badge. We've done this in an episode before. We're gonna get sued.
She's done a lot more.
We should probably watch. Yeah,
she's done a lot more.
You have to do is say OT8 is you mucked up your own past life.
Didn't Katie Holmes do a lot of foreign movies too? Like she did some movies.
Disclaimer:
in England and
certain opinions things like that. Expressed by other
either,
members of the podcast.
I'm pretty sure she was pretty
are
much
not
set
consensual
up
to our own.
This Tom not
the well, just
did it
imagine
over
the press we get.
I don't know if consensual is the right
word. Yeah, it wasn't. I just want everyone to know I don't agree with
consensual
all of you.
Consensual opinions.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not. Consenting to what you guys say, what we
I only podcast. Agree to consensual
what,
opinions.
What, where did I come into this?
I don't know.
That's why
I'm saying everyone
saying
in general.
Anything.
Taylor, you just happen to be the guy looking at me right now.
He doesn't agree with you, Taylor. Just accept it.
Harsh.
Oh man.
Oh, but hey, Cap drops next week.
Oh yeah,
does
Cap
it?
Does
getting
drop.
Super
next.
Excited
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, I've been
way stoked on it, honestly.
Yeah.
Are we doing a trivia? Are we getting together for that?
Oh, yeah, we are getting together for that.
When
yeah?
is that?
The
Thursday
third?
Before it
the
launches,
third.
Like the Thursday it launches.
Yeah,
yeah sounds fine.
And then,
Wait, next Thursday?
Yeah
wait,
next... Oh.
We're doing Pathfinder next
we're
Thursday.
We're doing Pathfinder!
Okay, hold on a sec. Yeah. You know, we're doing an entertaining podcast, not updating our Facebook status.
Well, no, we're telling people that,
right.
Same
that
thing.
Next
really
Thursday from 6 to 9 at Brick's Pizza in Huntersville, Tennessee. It's over there in the little walk-in mall.
Sponsored by Four Letter Nerd,
our and Comic Collector Live, which also a competitor of this store. But either way, Comic City 2 and Outright Geekery Crew are going to go there and own.
Yeah, we're going to win.
So shut up if you want to watch this.
We're going to win.
Yeah.
We're going to win.
Nobody knows more about
it,
the Avengers than
in
probably 4 out of 5 of us.
But I mean, yes. Realistically, Comic Collector Live, originally the website was, I mean, have they forayed into a physical store now?
Yes, they have a physical store on Saunders Ferry Road in Hendersonville.
Now, is this just so they can get the hard-to-get variants?
I believe that is part of it, but if you have a website under your control that allows you to sell comic books, it's probably good money to do
shop. I mean, for years they were doing like an eBay, like Amazon type.
That's
setup.
What Comic Collector
is. It like
is.
The eBay yeah. store in 40-Year-Old Virgin? Where you can only go in there, but you can't
buy
anything.
I just want to take the shoes home and wear them.
Comic Collector Live is a website that you can join.
Anybody else? eBay
it's
store?
Sort of like a comic book store online where anybody can. It's sort of like eBay for comic books.
So it's like an eBay store.
No,
like in the 40-year-old version.
You can go into their physical store and buy comics.
Okay.
I haven't been in there, but you can do that. I know
you have to go to the local computer.
Yeah, you
got to,
Had to bring your tablet.
Do they have the shoe with the fist?
Yeah.
I just want to go home and wear them.
Is it on Saunders Ferry?
It's on Saunders Ferry. You go down past
you don't need to
the
know.
Tattoo.
Yeah, you don't need to know. Don't worry about it. I mean, you're already in a good comic book store.
They're probably a comic store, but this is my comic shop of choice. choice.
They are.
I mean, is it in the good part of Saunders Ferry or the bad part?
It's Hendersonville. There's no bad parts of Hendersonville.
There's some bad parts of Hendersonville.
There are. I've lived in Hendersonville
the bad parts
30
of
years.
Hendersonville
there are no bad parts of Hendersonville.
Are PG at worst.
Thank you. Thank you. Hendersonville rocks. There
but
are
I like
no
the
bad parts.
PG-13
even the trailer
life.
Park
I
in
Hendersonville.
Well, you
sometimes
would, Larry.
NC-17.
I hate Hendersonville.
Even the trailer park in Hendersonville is awesome.
Yeah, seriously, the trailer park in Hendersonville is nicer than the neighborhood
it
I grew up in.
So it's nicer than
with
my house.
Houses.
A lot of
nice
places are nicer
houses
than the neighborhood you grew up
it's
in.
Yeah,
really. Now that we've provided a lot of the local flavor of the Middle Tennessee area, maybe
yeah, okay. We're not a geography podcast.
People who can't afford Brentwood would live.
Or people who don't want to deal with that traffic, sure.
No. Okay, enough geography right about that.
Bill is where they want to live now whatever you want. The prestige to live in there if they can't live in Brentwood.
Oh, we're still doing this.
Okay. Okay, still, well, this is still happening?
I'm not sure why. I just said it in passing.
There's more millionaires up in White
House. Does anyone have anything else? Anything else?
Yeah, we got some more movie stuff, or we could talk TV stuff. Gotham.
Oh, yeah, Gotham did release with a penguin and Alfred. Both look.
Look, and
Penguin looks creepy.
Cool.
Like every time I I'm scrolling through and I
Selena
see the
Kyle too.
Penguin's penguin picture on my browser. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, isn't that kind of the point?
It is. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that like
that's good. That's a good thing.
That's
you hit that nail on the head.
I mean, all I'm gonna say is, you know, Batman Returns. I thought
was
you
a
know,
terrible film, but the villains looked cool.
Penguin was creepy as hell. Like,
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito is perfect as
the
penguin.
He's like eating the fish.
Yeah.
Those Tim Burton movies
as a kid, that's
stand
weird
out because of their villains. Jim Carrey made an excellent Riddler.
Yeah.
But that wasn't
excellent.
That wasn't...
No, Tim Burton, directed the first 30 minutes of the movie, which is his origin.
Yeah. Wait, he directed just the first...
Which is why that 30 minutes... feel different from the entire rest of the film.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Are we talking about the 90s Batman movie?
Yeah, Batman Forever.
I will not direct your old movie. But I
no, they didn't want
scene
him to direct it, so he produced it.
You guys remember how bad Batman and Robin was?
Yes.
I don't
know how bad every
about
Batman movie was until Nolan.
Alicia Silverstone.
No, Batman Returns.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger
and Batman Original. I still like it.
Chill out.
Chill out.
Kick some ice.
I did not enjoy it.
Allow me
single
to break the ice. Yeah.
We'll kill the dinosaurs.
We'll kill the dinosaurs.
Ice, right?
The ice age.
The bad thing about Arnold Schwarzenegger is you could mix a match of any.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I could put that in. And like,
there's a YouTube video of just all his lives.
Have you seen him on Jimmy Fallon? And like, they have like the snowboards made out of like planks of metal.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
man,
it's like somehow it's slowing their descent.
Yeah, man.
Instead of making them just plummet to their death.
And what if then, like,
are we talking
maybe
about, wait,
a little bit of drag?
Isn't that the Power Rangers movie? Don't they do that too?
What? Ivan Ooze?
No, remember the Power Rangers movie opens up with them airboarding.
Oh yeah, it does.
And then they land, and for some reason they already have rollerblades.
Yeah.
And then they go to the mall.
Yeah, you're right.
That's the opening scene of
Mighty
Morphin Power
Rangers.
Is that the one
here
with like they go and they like the other planet and get like the like wolf and ape
yes
doors instead of dinosaurs
yes
or whatever?
And the Black Ranger gets the frog. He's like, I'm the frog. Sucks. That's a terrible film.
That was shit.
Yeah.
And they also have Selena Kyle on that.
It was a movie version of a kids' TV show, so we're probably holding it to too high a brow.
Of course we are.
Yeah, I mean,
what was the first
guy
who was
talking? Look at all of us. Of course we are.
Fair enough.
Oh, I like my Power Rangers with coffee.
Yeah. I like my cream with sugar and coffee.
A strong brandy.
I wear a monocle when I watch
that. You mean you like your sugar with coffee and cream? Thanks, BC
Let
Boys.
Let me tell you how.
It still comes on.
What?
Power Rangers, I think,
yeah
still
yeah
comes
it
on.
Yeah, it does.
Some iteration of it.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I turned on the TV the other day, and I see a whole new intro.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my god, did they just redo it all? No, it's the same show.
They
put a new intro on it for kids today.
Well,
they got rid of the lame guitar riff.
Well, they do that with they've done that with various Netflix shows. I think didn't
they?
I think Dawson's Creek actually has. Yeah. Why I know this? Don't ask me.
Oh, no, we know why.
Yeah,
we know why.
Because everyone just wants
Dawson's
to hear
Creek
the intro. Dawson's
man
Creek.
Christ on James Vanderbeek.
Oh god.
No, I just read an issue.
Oh, well, it's been found out. I'll see you guys later. No.
In the original Ultimates, Betty Ross has a date with James Vanderbeek in the whole.
Yes,
Coast
I read
country
that. Yes, yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I don't know why. James Vanderbeek has appeared
but
recently.
I tried to get my kids recently to go back and watch some Power Rangers, and yeah, they weren't having none of it.
Bob Strike.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's awesome.
He's
himself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That movie's hilarious.
Jason Law Strike Back?
Yeah. Mark Hamill in that movie.
Rock Knocker?
Yeah. With the lightsabers?
What's his name?
Yeah.
You know, the rest, what's his name playing up? Jay or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The kids
Biggs.
Come up.
The guy Biggs.
Jason Biggs. Yeah. Oh, he's
speaking of
you're
the speaking of Star Wars.
Have you even read the script?
But speaking of Star Wars, we were talking about they have confirmed the time frame of the upcoming Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's
30 years.
Years.
Oh, yes.
That's,
yes.
It's 30 years afterwards.
Yes, that's
so that if the...
So they allow, it for Mark Hamill.
Unless they move a lot of stuff around, that does preclude a lot of the...
old
sequel novels,
yeah.
Like, no.
Oh yes, the
no.
Thrawn's
gone. Was like
oh, yeah.
5 years.
I've
so
already expected
out.
That. The
you're
EU,
right.
EU has just been totally wiped out.
I read an article that said that J.J. Abrams has like two guys working for him. That's their only job is to go through every piece of Star Wars canon and decide what they're going to throw in.
Well, if it's 30 years, Thrawn's already out.
Yeah,
the only thing I want
Thrawn was awesome.
The EU,
I know.
In that movie, if it possible, is Thrawn.
Too
you're
late.
Not going to see it. Yeah. It's gone.
But that's the only
well,
thing.
Well, they'd have to switch the time frame around,
yeah,
which not. I guess they could do.
Yeah, it's all open now, but yeah. It's way too early for that movie. It's so fun to talk about the new Star Wars movie,
but
it's
only
going to
come out 2016.
That's a somewhat significant negative.
Oh, agreed.
But I'm
going
to say, I'm
agreed.
Still fanboying out. I'm interested to see what happens.
Like, it's a midnight showing for
I'm more worried than I am
excited.
No, see, I mean, honestly, anyone but George Lucas at this point. Like,
here's the other thing.
Anyone but George Lucas is doing is probably
go.
Better.
Hey guys, true. I mean, it's a good thing.
Look at this way.
And
it can never be worse than Episode 1.
True.
Nothing's ever going to be that bad again.
Episode 2?
Episode 1, the most...
You know, Episode 2 wasn't as bad as Episode 1 for
the
me.
Obi-Wan and Darth Maul.
Episode 2 was awful.
Okay.
Episode 1 was the worst.
Let me give you this.
Episode 1, besides...
Besides Darth Maul, the lightsaber fight,
no one can understand a goddamn word we're saying right now. Don't talk over each other.
Fanboy Nightmare. Jar Jar Binks origin story.
What?
I'd be cool with that.
That's the first option.
Right.
No. Racist caricature.
Without Jar Jar Binks.
Actually, I want to see, you know what's even more racist and worse? Trade Federation origin. Everyone forgets, but the Trade Federation was one terrible Asian joke after another.
Well, they talk about Clone Wars.
Oh, God.
The cartoon
was.
Yeah. Clone Wars.
No, I was watching Episode 1. I'm like, oh, the Trade Federation.
Jar Jar
Federation
was such
is
a bad stereotype
that
yeah.
Everyone ignores the fact that the
Trade
Federation was Asian.
Did you watch the Clone Wars cartoon? Well, they go into Jar Jar being crappy and the more stereotype in them.
Jar Jar Binks totally doomed.
Jar Jar
Binks was one who elected Palpatine.
The Gungans in the Clone Wars cartoons were respectable.
Yeah.
But Jar Jar
brought down.
The CGI cartoon?
No,
the
CGI
cartoon was awesome.
Yes, the one that Jenny
cartoon.
Tartakowski did,
Boom,
the
yeah.
guy who did
that was great.
Powerpuff Girls, Samurai Jack, and Dexter's Lab.
Yeah.
I loved that.
But
and it was short. They're all 5 minutes long.
Yeah. Well, the first series was 5 minutes long, but the second series was
the
like...
CG thing?
No, the non-CG.
The hand-drawn ones were... The first series
was
hand-drawn.
The 500 first episode was the best, where there's no talking.
Yeah.
Where they're literally just... It's the 500 first together... Not, and just doing hand signals and taking somebody
General
out.
Grievous in that cartoon
was
way more badass
way
than he was in episode 3.
That episode where he kills all those Jedi.
Yeah, like in 3 he's a punk.
He is a punk.
He just spins some swords around and then gets
Iron Generous.
He's like a galactic punk.
Make a nice collection.
That's the best way to
he's
put it.
He's one bad motherfucker.
Dude, even Anakin in that animated was awesome. Where he gets the scar.
Yeah.
That was an awesome episode where it's just the only thing that lights up is the saber. It's all silhouettes.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell Samurai Jack influence in there.
Yeah.
Man.
No,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Like, no.
Like
it was just like the episode with the...
Everything's
great
about that.
Mace Windu went after the big old...
Oh! Mace
one.
Windu!
The one episode.
Awesome.
Mace Windu was
no
badass, too.
Spoken.
He actually beat Grievous with, like, a hand wave. It was awesome.
Well, that was...
Well, they didn't beat him, but, like...
The
reason he has a cough in the movie.
Yes, yes. Why he has the cough in the movie. Man!
So good.
That was...
But,
crushed his sternum.
But the Clone War cartoon, the CGI one, the Gungans, except for Jar Jar Binks, were respectable.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, they were the ones called upon the Republic to come to the defense of Mount Calamari.
Yeah.
I couldn't do the CG cartoon. All right.
Okay,
I just couldn't do it.
It's hit or miss. Hit or miss, dude. There's episodes either amazing or just bad.
Of the ocean. He's called on to defend Calamari?
No,
Mon Calamari.
In the run of episodes for that particular arc, the Republic comes to the aid of Mon Calamari.
Yeah,
The Republic gets its the Republic gets its ass kicked. In order for, they wouldn't have reinforcements for at least a month, and they were like,
"He's
well,
laughing at the word calamari."
Yeah,
because that's
Star Wars.
That's old Star Wars. That's a
Admiral Akbar. It's a trap. It's a trap.
You still admit it.
I'm Admiral Akbar.
It's a stupid name.
It's bad, but it's
stupid because they're fish people. They're squiddy looking fish.
Well, there's two races on that.
Yeah, the 80s guys.
But the
which I always thought was funny that the squid people aren't the Mon Calamari. Yeah,
they're like the Corians.
Yeah, the Corians.
Yeah, the Corians. Who didn't do that? Why?
But
get back, I think they're always originally intended to be the other way around.
Back to the upcoming movie real fast. Yeah, I didn't care for J.J. Abrams being in charge of Star Trek, what he did with it, but he probably is better suited for Star Wars.
Well, yeah, because he turned Star Trek into Star Wars.
I don't know.
That's pretty much what he did.
Okay, the thing I don't like what he did about Star Trek is he himself has admitted in interviews he never really liked it as a kid. He never really got into the philosophical aspects. And it shows, because the movies...
That's what I'm saying. They're about running around and punching aliens.
That's not what Star Trek is.
No, that's what Star Wars is. No, that's why he's better like suited for Star Wars. Yeah.
Well, originally.
Star Wars is less about sitting around and talking philosophy, though, so...
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. If he could do that with Star Trek, Star Wars is just his alley, because that's all he did with Star Trek, was turn it into Star Wars.
I'm still worried. But, if we get anything, it's better than getting nothing.
Yeah.
Even if it's a turd, it's better than getting nothing.
I mean, we're going to
see it. It's always going to be better than the last trilogy.
It's not
going to
take away from 4, 5, and 6.
Leaving the origin mystery. 4, 5, and 6 would...
George Lucas already did that to me.
The hints of the past were better than the realization of the past by a long shot in the prequel trilogy.
Yes.
Some things are better left to the imagination or novels, which people did great jobs at.
Yes.
I mean, the worst part about it is, if you watch the original interviews in the 70s with George Lucas... The reason he started with 4, 5, and 6, because he said it himself, nothing happens until then.
I heard that he couldn't get them, that he didn't want to do 1, 2, and 3 because the technology wasn't there for him to do it the way he wanted to. Oh. That probably was an excuse he had later in the 90s.
Yeah, he had later, but he says it in the original Blue Harvest documentary.
Yeah.
Nothing really happens until 4, 5, and 6. That's
when he wouldn't have to say the technology wasn't there. You forget Lucasfilm CG division is actually the birth of Pixar.
Agreed, But back when he did 4, 5, and 6, the technology definitely was not there to make a Gungan versus droid army.
No.
In episode 1. There was no way to do that.
I don't know if that was even, like...
That was cool, but in all fairness, cool if you look scene, at the though. First three movies, really nothing happens that often. I mean, there's a couple battle scenes.
There's some Star Wars.
There's no story.
But the thing about 1, 2, and 3...
in 4, 5, and 6.
Well, no, but the story in 1, 2, and 3, you pretty much already know. Hey, yeah, oh, look, there's Padme. You know that's going to be...
Right.
You know, Anakin's old lady. Oh, there's baby Anakin. Oh, you know Qui-Gon isn't going to make it long because Obi-Wan has a mat. You know what I mean? You pretty much know what's going to happen in 1, 2, and 3. So, yeah, the story's there for you already.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I agree with Lucas. There was no story.
There was no story in 1, 2, and 3. And that's why he started with 4, 5.
Which is why we have the pod race scene is 15 minutes long.
That's a great scene for
It's a spectacle scene. It's
like
35
minutes.
Come on.
And it's most of the movie. It's most of the movie.
A pod racing, 20 minutes of trade debates, you know.
I love the pod racing scene, but you're right. It was just...
It's 45 minutes.
But it was
most of the movie.
It was a visually stunning scene. It was gorgeous. Brilliant.
But it's 45 minutes. You could have done it in 15. And it also, and that still would have been too long.
And it also missed that Star Wars thing where they go back and forth from two different settings. And there's like a lot of shit going on here.
Because
there's no other aspect for them to focus on. You know, when they're on Endor, they also focus on Luke up here, and people are everywhere. They're
a scope of the universe, kind of like...
Yeah, during the pod racing, that's all they focused on for 45 days. And as cool as it was, you're right, it was way too long.
You know, it's kind of funny how, like, such even the smallest segue can get us to start bitching about the...
Oh, I love it. I love it, though. Bitching about George Lucas, especially, right?
Here's a super nitpick thing. If you notice, at one point...
There's ETs in there.
No, I was going to say, it's a really small thing about the Gungan, or as they're called for, like, the first half of the movie, the Gunga.
Yeah.
And then they switch it, like, but they say, like, the Gunga city, and then they're like, wait, the Gungan city.
But who's like, saying it? Is it the Gungan saying it, or is
it's both?
No, it's the Naboo's.
Call him the Gunga.
Folks, call him the Gunga because they don't know him yet.
No, but
do we just all want to go around the table and say our biggest complaint about episode 1 real quick? Just get it out of the way.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
All
right. Sorry, Gomer.
That time when
that's not my biggest. That's just a good one.
Right. You know how, like, Qui-Gon's, like, running through the woods and Jar Jar's there and they're, like, kind of dancing a little bit?
Yeah.
Why doesn't Qui-Gon just, like, go around him real quick?
Yeah.
Why does he just fall on him?
Why does he need force push him out of the way?
Force push him out of the way? Any damn thing, Qui-Gon. Liam Neeson, you puss. Go ahead, dude.
Never say that again. Either way.
Qui-Gon did the only good thing in that entire movie.
Taken three, these bitches just can't stay out of trouble. Taken three, grandma's missing.
Biggest complaint would probably be why they're on Tatooine working on the pod race and Anakin. You got all those little kids coming up. And
his buddies.
He's
going, it's working! It's working! Yes. That is kind of lame.
I hate that. Anyone ever made that?
He's got, like,
no
Kid
one
Greedo.
Ever killed a Jedi.
He's got Kid Greedo with him.
Yeah, I was going to say, anyone ever thought about that? That's Greedo?
Poor Kid Greedo.
Yes. Poor Kid Greedo. He'll someday get shot first by Han Solo. And then have it taken out
where Solo.
I love the, like, redo, like, they tried to do where it looked like Greedo shot first.
Yes.
Like, he's shooting, like, errantly, like, 40 yards.
Look at
me.
His eyes are up here, so, you know, he's got, like, yeah, he's got, like,
he's
chameleon
the worst
eyes.
Mob enforcer ever, if you can really do
it. Cross-eyed, it's like... Okay, anyway, you're...
How to destroy Jabba the Hutt's enemies.
No, awkwardly enough, I hadn't seen that till like 2 years ago.
Oh,
I spent so long, I had no idea that was a thing because I just always had it in tape. Yeah. I never bought a DVD. And then when I was exposing my girlfriend at the time to it, I was like, wait a minute. What? I see he's not right.
Yeah.
But anyway,
on shot first. By the way, my biggest complaint about the movie is kind of like a general storytelling complaint.
No.
Half the movie was a complete waste of time because they go all the way to the Galactic Senate. Like, we need reinforcements. There's no way we can win without reinforcements. We're not giving you reinforcements. Fine, we'll do it ourselves. You could have done that at the beginning of the fucking movie.
Why'd they leave Naboo if they're just going to go back?
They just ran inside, shot up the place, and that was
it. No standing army.
Because you wouldn't end up with Anakin if you didn't have them run out of gas.
Also, how the hell, in like the sci-fi center they have, how do they not have like a video recording of the Trade Federation taking over their planet? They show up like, there's no proof. Of course there's fucking proof.
Around my entire planet.
You lose the signal of the
you've invented faster than light speed, but not a video camera.
Either way, they're traveling to
you
the
got
Federation.
Holograms, but
them traveling to the Senate.
Yeah, those cities could
arguments in the
hologram
were a complete waste of time.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Convenient waste of time because that's how it worked. Everything fell into place for them perfectly.
Oh yeah, well, okay,
we
like,
have to take the force.
I remember like Anakin blowing up their mothership.
Yeah,
he like gets pulled in by their tractor beam. They pull an enemy ship into their cargo bay where they have like a fucking nuclear reactor.
And then he's overheating. And then it's we're overheated. Are you kidding me? The Naboo ship is that crap? Oh, we're overheated. We're overheated.
No, I guess
put some antifreeze in that thing.
There's an AutoZone.
Maybe.
Oh,
somewhere.
So he accidentally blows up the mothership and saves it.
Why do the droids need warmth and all that?
Next up, Jesse.
My thing is, alright.
Episode 1 bashing.
Anakin makes C-3PO to help his mom out.
And then
he builds a protocol droid whose main thing is like languages and communication and protocol.
To help his slave mom out.
To help his slave mom out do what exactly?
I guess
laundry.
Laundry? Yeah, he's real good at that. He's stiff armed. He can't do stuff.
I've exposed wires. Do you want me to touch water?
I cannot fold this shirt.
Like, what is the point in that? Like,
hey, man, if anyone ever came by who spoke a language that Anakin's mom did not understand, then was C-3PO's time to shine.
Yeah,
that's it.
What, when she's like,
anyone just
talk
shit on
her
being stupid.
And you know what? He never even appears in any other movie after that. What happened to C-3PO in episode 2?
He was in episode 2 and he got gold plate.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the factory. The he got knocked around in the factory.
Yeah,
he was
made
the
that
comic
factory.
Relief in 3. He was the only comic relief in 3.
Well, terrible. Oh, my complaint. Here's my thing.
So
best scene in the entire movie.
Die, Rebel scum.
Is the freaking lightsaber scene. My only argument I've always had is, so he quickly kills Qui-Gon, but he takes his time with Obi-Wan, leaving him plenty of time to kill him? The scene where he's just playing with him?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
The arrogance of the scene?
But no. But seconds ago, he was all about killing Qui-Gon as fast as possible.
He knew how badass Qui-Gon was.
He's the master.
He knew how badass Qui-Gon was. He underestimated
Obi-Wan. He knew if he got away, he would hunt him down and find him.
No, dude. It was poor storytelling. Here's how I want to just kill them as fast as possible.
Now whenever I watch episode 4, it's like, oh, you slayed a Sith. I totally fucking sucker punched him. It really shouldn't count.
No, that's my whole thing. Was just like, wait,
so he took out... Obi-Wan owns
Anakin's like
no, the other dude, the robot dude that you mentioned.
Oh, Grievous.
General Grievous. Okay, the blaster!
I guess yes. He was like a master by then, I guess, is the one justification you could have for it.
Yeah. With a blaster, though.
But yes, my whole thing is like, are you serious?
But he was even disgusting with that.
The Sith again.
Grievous was so wussified in that movie compared to what he was in the cartoon.
He can spin some sabers real fast, though, man.
I've got four arms with four lightsabers, but I can't.
And then everyone went into it that he, like, he took those lightsabers from Jedi's. He had killed.
Yeah. How did he do that?
Trophies.
How did he do that?
But he must have snuck up
well,
on
him. Well,
sucker punch.
In the hand-drawn cartoon, it kind of goes in. Dooku was training him.
And my only thing is, how can Anakin just fly that Naboo cruiser? Just first time I'm in the cockpit, oh, I know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
It just happens to look like a pod racer.
Like a all he had to do was get to the tractor beam and pull the fire button.
Yeah.
That'll
work. But our design schemes are systematically the same.
Alright, here's something I want to point out.
Genius.
Point it, Larry. Point.
Point.
If Yoda demanded any respect and people listened to him, the entire thing wouldn't have happened.
Yep.
What do you mean?
Because Yoda said,
don't train him! If they would have listened to him,
that's a good point.
The world would have been saved!
What's
the point
of being the fucking Grand Master if you can't
Nobody will listen to your
kids. Not only that, the assistant grandmaster, Mace Windu, also said, don't train the boy.
Well, I think Samuel Jackson
said
no.
The entire destruction of the entire universe is all Qui-Gon
for having that, for saying train
this boy. Yeah, Mace Windu would have killed Palpatine, everything.
But you know what? Saying all that.
He brought balance, though. Without Anakin being Darth Vader, you don't get that balance to the Force.
Well, I understand.
And Yoda also said that Luke was too old to train, too. But thank goodness.
Luke was way too old.
But thank goodness Luke made it.
Yeah. But in all fairness.
Or did he?
In all fairness, in the final film of the entire series, the sixth movie.
This room stinks of geekness.
It does. It's
a Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah. Anakin does finally bring balance.
Wipes out Jedi Order and the Sith.
He brought balance to the Force. Yeah.
Well, he fucked that up because Luke restarted the damn Jedi Order.
Praxum!
And there's still Sith out there, too.
There's still Sith
out there. As far as we know, J.J. Abrams is going to change all that, probably. But
the rumors are that the villain is supposed to be a Sith.
Awesome. What else could it be, though? A Mandalorian, that's it.
Please be Darth Cadence.
What?
Well,
I didn't know what you were saying. We talked about Thrawn earlier. Thrawn is not
talking over each other.
Somebody... But a character in the future movie is going to be so sensitive to the Force that Sidious comes to him, whispers to him, and starts off the Jason Solo.
Everyone remember that expanding universe?
Yeah.
No, what?
Where one of the twins becomes the new Vader, basically.
That was because
Jason
of the
Solo. And to bring balance to the Force, his twin sister had to kill him.
I can live with that. Go with that.
They should do.
I think so too.
But the Solo twins, universe, balance to the Force.
The extended universe where so many other agents of the Emperor.
Right.
Ben. Ben. You have to do Ben Skywalker.
All right. Let's wrap it up. Okay. Final thoughts, Gilbert.
People ask me if I paid my dues. Checks in the mail.
All right, David.
You're saying all right. Right now, there is you can view Mars by the naked eye without any aid of a telescope.
It's
in the southwest. No,
don't you?
I saw it at midnight last night.
Oh, okay.
It's in the southwest sky or southeast sky.
Nice.
It's the red
I love
light.
How you're pointing?
He is pointing
over there.
Because that's east.
Cool. Yeah, Mars.
Mars can be visible by the naked eye. Get out and check it out.
Taylor.
Super stoked for Cap next week.
Yes.
Jesse.
I am too.
I was going to say that, but I guess I'm going to say, like usual,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle trailer.
Yeah, there's that, but also, man, screw episode one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home and watch it again.
Cry.
Yeah. Cry like a baby.
Or you can always do the machete version.
Ultimate Universe is better than I remember. I'm rereading the whole thing. And good night, Elaine.
I was just thinking about that, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do it because Jules gets mad.
I'm going to say
that's
it to my
really
own
nice.
Girlfriend. That's really
nice.
I don't
like doing
Taylor.
It either.
Big man on campus. Taylor's big man on campus.
Big brain on Brad.
Well, we did give you so much grief last episode.
Oh, man. About my favorite character.
Hilarious episode. Yeah.
With the whole Hank Pym thing?
Yeah.
Joel's beating his wife for one
of them. We had fun on Facebook with
we
that,
had found me and Gomer.
You were in that post.
Yes.
When I mentioned,
we actually found
us
the real story.
Us white beaters have to stick together, and then I tagged my wife in the post. It was awesome.
I'm sure she is there.
She don't get on Facebook.
He never, beat his wife. That's all I'm saying. Everyone can let Reed Richards beat his wife. Yeah, let Peter Parker beat Mary Jane.
Because, dude, Reed Richards, that's a slap, man.
Yeah.
Boom. That's an elastic slap.
That's like a rubber band across the face.
How did Peter Parker hit Mary Jane without knocking her head off?
He restrained himself, man.
Yeah,
he
restrained
mad
himself.
Not
yeah,
so
not
mad enough to throw a punch, but still like, oh, I better...
That's what I'm saying, like... Two people, especially Peter Parker, who everyone celebrates, beat Mary Jane up.
When did that even happen?
80s.
Yeah.
Okay, 80s.
It was during when he thought he was the clone.
Yeah.
He freaked out on her.
He was really torn.
And he was like, "No, I'm a clone. I don't want to be with you. Go have your fun with the real Peter Parker." And he beat her up.
Yeah. Cuz she was like,
"Hank
no,
Pym slaps her once and he's forever a wife beater."
Yeah. Well, that's because it's been like a reoccurring. It's like
just another.
It's an internet meme.
Yeah, it's an internet meme,
and they keep bringing it up.
Yes, and everyone just ignores the fact that Peter Parker beat Mary Jane to a pulp.
That's
not to a pulp.
He beat the mess out of her.
That's probably one of those
that's
things.
Rough
where that's probably not even in continuity, like de facto anymore. Yeah. Because
it
writers
is.
Like,
no, it still happened.
It happened, but writers are like,
dude. After one more day, nothing. Peter.
Yeah, nothing. Peter Parker.
Nothing
fair.
Happened.
All right.
Well, after Age of Ultron, it probably never happened.
Again at Comic City 2. Yes. Feel free to come on in and stop by any Wednesday at noon and join this podcast. Comic City 2, your friendly local comic book shop.
Friendly neighborhood comic book store.
Okay.
Even and I know the tags of the store.
Whatever. Home of the buy one, get one half off.
Yeah, I was like, whoa there. Whoa,
easy, bro. Whoa.
Mark, like,
whoa.
What?
Mark's going to come out here and buy comic books here.
Let's buy one, get one half off. Trade paper bag special.
Thank you.
All right.
We're done.
That's cool.